This is just a continuation of this class on verse 48, first class. We're just mentioning about Krishna Das and how everyone, these two paths leading to, and Garuda Puran describes two pathways, two roadways leading to Yamapuri, which doesn't have much to do with Nikunja Leela, but it's a slight, you know, tangent there. So one path is for the pious and the religious people, and that pathway is full of flowers and lakes and fruit trees along the way. And it's very nice, and it takes about a year to go there, a year of mental time or whatever. Time is a little bit hard to understand on these subtle planes of things. Time is a very very puzzling factor. Like the gopis danced for, seemed like a few hours, but it was the night of Brahma, millions and millions of lifetimes, or human days. But it seems like when the sun came up, they were back in Varsana. So it's hard to understand. So the one pathway is for the pious religious, and they just walk there, and they walk along, and they're very happy, and just walking through the forest to Yamaraj. The other pathway is for the sinful, and there's all dogs on either side biting them and barking them, and they're tied up with ropes and chains, and the Yamadutas are whipping them and beating them, and they're collapsing from the hot sun, and they're dying of thirst, and they have nothing to eat, especially if they're not members of the Varnashram system or Indian people, where they have Shraddh and Pitri Puja and all these things, Pitri Paksha and Ashwin Maina, for 2 weeks where you feed your ancestors, your Pitris, ancestors, you give them water and food, and then that's transferred by some special method to them, and they get some food and drink on their pathway and to Yamaraj. But people born outside of India, they don't know anything about that. Someone dies and you bury them in the ground, that's that. So they really suffer, and all that suffering is described there in Garuda Puran, unabridged. You maybe go downtown in Vrindavan and find some very skinny Garuda Puran, which doesn't tell very much of anything. But the unabridged is very clear. Unabridged means complete book, unabridged. Abridged means small. You understand? No, you don't. Unabridged. Anyway, it's English, and none of you know English that well. In other words, the complete book. Like they sell, it says Garuda Puran. It's about this thick in Vrindavan. And then you look inside, it says this is a summary. Summary. In other words, it has 100 chapters, there's 20 in here. So it's very small. At any rate, so then the pious people go there down this beautiful flower path, and there's plenty of lakes to swim in and water and fruit trees, and everything's very nice. And then Yamaraj, he's sitting on his throne, and he's looking so, and he even describes how he looks like for the non-devotees, for the sinful people, how ferocious he looks, and how he looks at them with burning eyes. You did this, and you did that. You know, and they give the report, and you go to this hell, Krimi Loka, and you go to Pataloka, you go here and there. And then take him away and whip him and so many things. And then when the devotee comes, and they say, oh, he's looking so much different. And Yamaraj says, who is this? Oh, this is Krishna Das. He's your devotee, Krishna Bhakt. Acha. So what is his report? Oh, he was always doing chanting and this and that. That's very nice. Now, that Yamaraj that's described, when the devotee sees Yamaraj, he is very beautiful demigod with golden skin and beautiful lotus eyes and long hair and beautiful dhoti, and he looks so attractive, like a Vishnu Duta, you know, like a resident of Vaikuntha. And he has a very high throne. He steps off his throne, he comes down the steps, and he embraces the devotee. He says, I'm so happy to meet you. I'm so fortunate to meet a wonderful devotee of Radha and Krishna. So anyway, now you take birth in Vrindavan in a Brahmin family, and then this will be your last birth. You'll attain prema and go to your Ishtadev. So this is the situation. Maybe new things you don't know very much or heard, but you can read yourselves in Garuda Puran, a complete version. It's in English also. It's available. Anyway, that's a long way from the Nikunjas and the Surata Katamritam of Radha and Krishna. But I'm sorry for that divergent. Now we're getting lost over there. I mean, I sometimes say only ask questions on the basis of the shloka. What about speaking only on the basis of the shloka? So I don't know about that. I have to improve my focus myself. So this is very beautiful. Raha Paricharika. So this is a very secret, confidential sevas. So the mandris are more intimate and confidential with Radharani than even her sakis like Lalita and Vishakha. Although in terms of superiority of position and in the whole hierarchy or whole Brajadam, the sakis, Radharani and the sakis, they're ashtasakis, Paramapreshta sakis. That's why they're called Paramapreshta. They're the topmost. Preshta means topmost special, like Mukunda Preshta. The Guru is described as Preshta. Namo Mahavanyaya Krishna Prema Pradaya Krishna. No. Namo Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prasthaya. Krishna Preshta. So in the Shastras, generally the Guru is described as Mukunda Preshta or Krishna Preshta. Krishna means Mukunda. Mukunda means Krishna. Means Preshta means very Priya, Presht, Preshta. Means he's situated and standing in a very intimate and dear position to the Lord. He's his Priya Bhakta. So the same way these Parama Preshta Sakis, they're not only Preshta, but Param, they're the topmost special Sakis in all the spiritual world. So they're very, very fortunate. And they're all served by the Mandris and Kinkaris, and they're all respected, and they're superior on that level of hierarchy there. Radharani's the top. Radharani and Chandravali are the top two sakis described in the Puranas and our Shastras. And Chandravali has her Ashtasakis, and Radharani has her Ashtasakis. And the chief Mukhya sakis of Radharani are Lalita Vishakha. And the chief sakis of Chandravali are Padma Sakhi and Shaibya. And they have their mandris and the whole arrangement there. So they're the top, the two. And then after that, it's Radharani. Radharani, of course, is the top of those two. And there's some hierarchy. That hierarchy is also described in the Padma Purana. Of all the sakis, there are eight major sakis. And this is not Radharani's Ashta sakis. This Padmarana says all the sakis are eight major. Shamala and Palika and Tara and Radharani and Chandravali, Lalita and Shaibya Padma. There's eight. These are called the eight topmost sakis. I believe it's also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's definitely in Ujjvala Nilamani by Rupa Goswami, quoting from Puran. So among these eight, then there's two. These are eight. So in that group of eight, you don't find Tungavidya Sakhi, you don't find Rangadevi, you don't find Sudevi. This is of all the sakis. Because Chandravali is one of those eight. And Radharani is one of those eight. And Shaibya, and Padma, and Taraka, and Palika, and Shamala, like this. So now of all those eight, the two most prominent sakis in all of Brajmandal are Radharani and Chandravali. And of those two, the topmost saki is Srimati Radharani. That's quite obvious, we know. So the mandris have, although they're somewhat junior to their senior sakis, Yuteshwaris, etc., their position and their, because their hearts, they're so intimate and confidential with Radharani and attain such a privileged position of Raha Paricharika, this position of being right there at that most intimate and confidential moment and the secret time when Radharani's fully alone with Krishna and the kunjas and all the sakis have gone elsewhere for other sevas or to rest or whatever and their own kunjas after the rasa dance. Everyone's tired. So they go to their kunjas to relax and all their sakis and mandris surround them and do seva for Lalita and Vishakha, massage them and give them some refreshing drinks. And they're not. They also have all their attendants and all their servants. So they're away from Radharani and Krishna right now. But the mandris right there. Because their hearts, their bodies and their minds are fully attached to Radharani's seva and pleasure. So this word, raha, secret, it means that at very secret places and secluded places, the Nibritta Nikunjas of Vrindavan, and the groves of Vrindavan, forests of Vrindavan, those very secluded, private, solitary bowers, very intimate times, secret times, the mandris are there. They're able to serve. But it also means Raha Paricharika, aham, O Radharani, kada aham, when will I become your very confidential, private, your private servant, your special, confidential and secret Paricharika, and those Nibrita Nikunjas. And sometimes this word Raha means that the mandris serve Radharani alone, or just one mandri, either standing at the door of the kunja, or even inside the kunja itself. She may be alone with Radha and Krishna Yugal, or she may be with her Guru Sakhi, Guru Devi, or some, or maybe Rupa Mandri, or Tulsi Mandri, Rati Mandri. So this is, and all of this is, of course, very secret and special. So Raha can mean that also, serving alone or with others. So they're unique. So they're, of course, the mandris have a very unique emotional temperament, which is, their emotional temperament is called Radha Sneha Adik. This is Adik Mas. This is pur, Adik means extra. There's 13 months this year. Usually there's 12 months a year. This year there's 13 months, so the extra month, additional. That means Adik. And so the Radharani's mandris, Sri Rupa Mandri, Tulsi Mandri, Rati, etc., Lavanga Mandri, Guna Mandri, Vilas Mandri, they have extra, they have lots of love and lots of sneha, wonderful affection for Krishna, but more for Radharani. So the Radha Sneha Adik. And some Sakis have, like Lalita, like Dhanishta Sakhi and Brindadevi, Brindadevi and Dhanishta, they have Krishna Sneha Adik. They have more affection for Krishna. You'll see in Govinda Lilamrita and Krishna Bhavanamrita by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Sometimes the mandris are really causing problems for Shamsundar, and then Brindadevi takes the side of Krishna. So although they're serving side by side, this is very clear, and this is her identity mentioned in Radha Krishna Ganadesha Deepika, and that she is this Brindadevi. And they're all, of course, Kaya Vyuha, expansions from the Kaya, Manavakya Kaya. Manavakya Kaya means mind, words, and body, Kaya. We have Kalevaram or Kayo. So they're all expansions of Radharani's body, but Dhanishta Sakhi, she lives in Krishna's house in Nandagram. So in this, I'll give you an example. The difference between Radha Sneha Adik and Krishna Sneha Adik. So here, they're together. Brindadevi's there, and then Krishna's there, and Dhanishta's there, and maybe Madhumangal's there. In the morning before Radhakund Leela, late morning. And finally, you know, Krishna's there asking Brinda and Dhanishta and Madhumangal, oh, where is Radharani? When's she coming? I'm so eager to meet her. Do you know where she's coming to Radhakund, where I can meet her? And they say, we don't know. We can't tell. And we haven't met any Sakis, or we haven't received any information. But if someone can come from her party, then we can find out. So then all of a sudden, coming down the footpath comes Tulsi Mandri. Tulsi Mandri is the general name which is used to describe Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, throughout Govinda Lilamrita, he's called Tulsi Mandri, not to be confused with Tulsi plant or with Brindadevi. Brindadevi is Brindadevi, and she's a Tulsi plant, and Tulsi Mandris, and Tulsi garlands, and flowers, and buds. A Tulsi Mandri. And also, Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, is identified as Rati Mandri. But the Tulsi Mandri, Radharani likes this name very much, and this is very clearly told by Kasturi Mandri in her form as Krishna's Kaviraj in Govinda Lilamrita. So then Krishna says, oh, here comes Tulsi Mandri. She certainly must have news of Radharani, when's she coming and where I'm supposed to meet her. And she, because Tulsi You know, she's like side by side with Radharani every time, all the time. One in place, one in heart, one in mind. So then they say, "Oh, Tulsi, welcome, welcome. What is the news? Where's Radharani? When's she coming?" Then because Tulsi Manjari is Radhasneha Adik. She has more affection for Krishna. Now you'll see. Radhasneha Adik. More affection for Radharani. So then Tulsi Manjari says, "Oh, Shyam, I have very, very bad news. You don't know. Today is a great tragedy has occurred. It's a very unfortunate day for all of Vrindavan. It's a very unfortunate day for all the residents of Vrindavan, moving and non-moving. This is one of the saddest days, because I regret to inform you, I regret to tell you, that Radharani cannot come out to meet you, because she was just leaving for Surya Puja with Kundalata from Yavat. And just before that, her mother-in-law, Jatila, asked her to churn some yogurt into butter. So Radharani was extremely full of utkantita bhav, eagerness to meet you and to come for Abhisar. Somehow she went and filled a clay pot, the mudka, the kumbha, with water. And she started churning the water, thinking it was yogurt. And then her mother-in-law came out and said, "What are you doing, you nonsense? You know, you're absent-minded. You must have been bitten by that black snake, and now your mind is poisoned. You don't know how to think straight. I told you the pot of yogurt is over there. Churn it to bring out the butter. And now you're churning water. You can't. You just stay here. No Surya Puja today. You do Manasip Puja. You do Manasip Puja of Surya. You don't go out today. So I'm very sorry, Shyam, Radharani cannot come." So now Krishna's feeling so sad. "Oh, Brinda, oh, Tulsi, what to do? How can I live without Radharani? She's my everything. She's my pran. She's my don. She's my everything, my wealth, my life breath." And this Tulsi was saying all these things. It was all a lie. It was all a story, because she wanted to increase Krishna's eagerness and desire to attain her Swamini Ishri Radha. So she was, in one sense, playing with Krishna, but playing with Krishna to increase his love, only for service, not like we might play games with each other, games people play, and in the material world, someone tells somebody, "No, something will happen," then the person will feel bad, or you get a laugh out of it. It's not like that. There's no negativity here. Don't misunderstand. There's no ill motivation. It's all to enhance and increase Krishna's love and increase Krishna's pleasure and joy when he finally does attain Radharani's darshan and sangha. So now, Brindadevi and Dinesha, they look at Tulsi like, "Stop playing with him." Because these girls can understand that Tulsi has made this story up, but Krishna can't understand. He believes it fully. So then they look at him. Brindadevi looks at him, and she even says, "Hey, Tulsi, this is not fair. Don't do like this. Don't do like this to my Krishna." He said, "Now, tell the truth. What's happening?" And then after that indication, either by eyes, Brindadevi was speaking like that by eyes. So this means that Brindadevi is coming to the aid and defense of Krishna. Why? Because Tulsi Manjari is Radhasneha Adika, more affection for Radha. And Brindadevi and Dinesha have more affection for Krishna. So they took his side. And they said, "Okay." They said, Tulsi, that's enough. Our Shyam is suffering so much. Now, where is Radharani?" And then Tulsi says, "Oh, Shyam, I was just joking with you. I was just joking with you. I want to increase your love. Actually, Radharani is just behind me. She's just coming now." Oh, so this is an example of the difference between Krishna Sneha Adik and Radha Sneha Adik. It's all for the loving bliss and happiness of Radha and Krishna. So this is this line here. This is the third line. Shri Radhike Tavavraha Parichari Kaham. O Srimati Radhika, when will I become your confidential maidservant? Because if you just say Paricharika, it means maidservant, handmaiden. When you say Raha, it means secret, rahasya. Well, why this word Raha? For the reasons I've told. So this is one point that we see here. And now the next point about the Manjaris is that they serve, the Manjaris serve with all their senses. They their eyes and their ears, their hands. Generally when we think of Manjaris doing seva, we think they're running down the path to carry a message, or they're going to bring Krishna to Radha or Radha to Krishna, or they're bathing or doing something with their hands, making garlands, fanning, grinding chandan, massaging the feet. Many, many services with the hands or with their legs, like most services are that type of physical. But they also do service just by hearing, and just by seeing. It's so many pastimes, the Manjaris aren't really doing anything active at that moment. They've come to Dangati with Radharani and the Sakis. They're all together on their way to Govindakund. And at Govindakund, there's a huge yajna. Because Vasudev and Mathura, because he wasn't always in the prison house, after the first children were killed and he promised to give them to Kansa, then Kansa let him out of prison. So he was living alone, I mean with his wife, Devaki, and his entourage. So at that time, Vasudev, he engaged Bhaguri Rishi to do a huge yajna for the benefit of his son, who is staying clandestinely, means secretly, in Nandagram under the care, loving care of Nanda and Yashoda. So he asked Bhaguri Rishi, please, you go to Govindakund, that's a great place, a very great place of yajna and puja, and do a big yajna there. So Bhaguri Rishi went there, and the gopis got news that, oh, there's a big yajna, and he's a powerful sage, Bhaguri Rishi. If you bring your ghee and yogurt, all your yogurt and ghee and milk, you have to make sweet rice, because when there's a yajna, although maybe we only have seen ghee offered in fire to Vishnu, you're also supposed to offer kheer or sweet rice. There's one, what do you call it? Purohit or whatever it's called. One of the, there's a name for it. One of the pujaris or Brahmins engaged in the yajna, he'll be throwing sweet rice in while the chief priest is offering ghee, and everyone's throwing this job and black sesame seeds into the fire. Swaha, swaha. So ghee. So the assistant pujari or assistant Brahmin will be offering sweet rice, what we call sweet rice, which means kheer. So therefore, at a yajna, a big yajna that Bhaguri was doing, they have to bring milk to make the sweet rice. They have to bring yogurt because they may do some kind of panchamrit abhishek or panchagavya. Then they have to, of course, the main element is ghee. Swaha, swaha. So the gopis are carrying all these things to Dangati. And then Krishna stopped them. Krishna stopped them for tax, Dan Leela. Dan Vihari Krishna ki jai. So then, at that time, everyone stopped, and there's so much humorous dialogue going on between Krishna and the gopis, the lead gopis. It's described by Das Goswami and Don Kaili Chintamani, Don Kaili Chintamani, and by Sri Rupa Goswami Pad and Don Kaili Komudi. Very beautiful play. These are both natya, or plays, with so much discussion, so many acts, and very beautiful description of Krishna's Don Leela. So at that particular juncture of the Leela, the Manjaris, it's basically dialogue going on, dialogue and expressions of love between the Premashraya Radha, the Vibhav Alamban, Premashraya Radha, and Vibhav Alamban Vishai, Prem Vishai Krishna, and Lalita assisting, etc., and Madhamangal also. And the Manjaris are just watching. They're not fanning, they're not stringing garlands, they're not massaging their feet, they're just watching and listening. They're hearing and chanting. They're hearing and seeing. Maybe they're chanting also, hey, this isn't fair, hey, they may say a few words. But basically, they're doing seva, but it doesn't appear they're doing any active seva. They're just standing there, fully absorbed in Radharani's mood and her different kalahantarita bhav. She shows different bhavas at that time. Very wonderful emotional temperaments and psychological movements of her mind and heart in her intimate conjugal love for Krishna. She shows these wonderful postures and gestures and eye movements and crying, but just not really crying, and smiling, but being angry, but smiling, and many combination of moods and feelings and thoughts. So Mandris are watching that and feeling that, oh, this is wonderful. And that's also seva. So you serve with all your senses. So this verse is describing, it says that, what's the seva? It says, I'm hearing, I'm standing at the door of your forest bower, kunja, and I'm listening to the Mishritani. And we say karma mishra bhakti, bhakti mixed with karma, ganmish. So Mishritani means mixture of the tinkling, sanjita, alapita means sound, shrutva, I'm hearing. I'm hearing the mixed sounds of your tinkling ornaments and your soft speech coming from within the bower house. So Radha and Krishna are sitting or lying on the flower bed, and Radharani has her waist bells and her ankle bells. Krishna also has waist bells, ankle bells he wears. But usually we think of Radharani's ankle bells, her kinkini mala, and her ankle bells called, her waist bells are called kinkini, and her ankle bells are called nupura. Nupura, ranajana, 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 janjan, like this beautiful sound they make. This is sinjita, alapita sinjita mishritani. So this is, so the ears are hearing, oh, what does that sound like? What is this sound? Because Radharani's kinkini and nupura, her waist bells and ankle bells, they are also bhav tadatmika with Radharani. So when Radharani is in an abhisarika bhav, the mood and feeling of a heroine running out for rendezvous, then that's her heart, and she's so eager and anticipating and running so fastly, and Nupur and Kinkini are jingling. They're jingling very loudly, jing, 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 like a burglar alarm, as I said the other day, when someone touches your car, wah, 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 wah. So alert, 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 alert. So the ankle bells and the waist bells are vibrating so loudly and forcefully. Alert, 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 red alert, red alert, red alert. Radharani's running down the path. So the ankle bells and Nupur and Kinkini are feeling that same bhav. They're jingling with the bhav of abhisarika bhav, the nayaka bhav of an abhisarika. Just like you hear music, musical notes. Well, you can play musical notes like on a violin, which are very soothing and gentle, or you can play very aggressive and heavy notes. And I use these kind of music in different movies to excite your heart. The violins will come in, and if it's like a very a pathetic scene, or someone's very, you know, someone's crying or upset, then the violins are going wee 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 wee. You know, the violins are in the background. It's called the soundtrack, and they're vibrating pathos, or they're vibrating sadness. The musical vibration. And then people go, oh, he left me. And then imagine going to a movie with no music, only voice. Voices. Oh, he left me, you know, and he ran away, and there's no music. It's like, how? It's like, imagine, like, take the harmonium away from most singers, and what would it sound like? Not very good. Because most people really don't have, by gift of God, have a beautiful natural voice. It's very rare. But if the harmonium is there, then it hides all the problems of your voice. But it's one of the things I've seen in India, that especially these Brijbasis, they can really sing. I mean, I'm speaking about men. I mean, women by nature have that singing ability. It's kind of their inborn or so. But you hear these Indian men, they're just rowing the boat on the Jamuna, some boatman, or even they're just singing without any instrument. Very amazing voices. But my experience in any and being in ISKCON, you hear some devotee, if you take away the harmonium, his voice is not too much nice. It's an important thing. So here, that's the music. The music is conveying the mood. So these are instruments. These ankle bells, kinkani, and this nupur are like musical instruments. And the music they're vibrating is the music of love. This is the Prem Sangeet, the music of love. How Radharani's heart is vibrating, and how Radharani's heart is tinkling and jingling and vibrating with this Abhisarika Bhav, or with Divyonmad Mahabhav, or with at Don Leela, this Kalahantarita Bhav. It's another type of Nayaka Bhav. Then the ankle bells are jingling similarly. Now Radharani's in the Raha, the Brita Nikunja. So now the Manjri is standing outside at the door, and she's hearing Radharani's Nupur and Kinkini. So what is Radharani's Bhav at this time when she's lying with Krishna in the very beginning of their intimacies? So that feeling of her heart, that's the kind of, that vibration of Radharani's heart, that music of Radharani's love is being expressed in the jingling and tinkling sound of her Nupura and Kinkini. They have a particular music, particular sound, just like in a movie. At a particular scene, when there's particular emotions being shown, then the music will vary. If it's a fighting scene, or the everyone's on horses and they're running across the plains, and two enemies are running towards each other on horses, then there's heavy drums and timpani drums. So everyone's like, you're sitting in the audience, and the music is making you feel like you're going like on a horse, like you're also going along. So this is a kind of a mundane comparison, but the idea is the privileged position of the Manjri is that they're hearing with all their senses, and they're there hearing these amazing sounds of this Shutva Tad Alapita Alap Alapita Sinjita Mishritani. And this is their great fortune. Kunjantari Kimapi Jatara Sotsav. So Kunja Antare, same as Hindi, Antare, inside the Kunja. This word has word for word. Antari, inside, kim, what? What has happened? Jata, of course, means chandra. What's coming to being? What rasa, flavor, rasa utsava. So in other words, we're getting to that next, but this that's the next line, but we're discussing shutva tadalapita sanjita mishritani, that the Manjris are hearing these wonderful sounds. Now, I think because we'll continue tomorrow with that. There's some questions, if anyone has questions on this verse. We're discussing the privileged position of Radharani's Manjris and their Raha Paricharikas. Shri Radhike Tava Raha Paricharikaham. Paricharikaham. I want to be your, O Radharani, I want to be Tava, I want to be your Shri Radhika. Shri Radhike, Radhike means, we say, Radha and Radhe. Radha means the name, but when it's vocative or when you're calling, then you say Radhe. Ha, we say Vishaka, Vishaka Saki, but if you're calling Vishaka, you say, hey Vishake, hey Lalite. So the Manjri is calling the Saraka and Saraka Vesh, the Saraka and Ragmarg. He's crying out and calling out to Radharani, hey, Shri Radhike, Radhike, oh, Shri Radhike. Kada, when will I be your, when will, Tava, Shri Radhike, Tava, Raha Paricharika Hum. When will I be your Paricharika and serve you, your all-arounder? Manjari, serve you in all possible ways, at all possible times, in every situation, in every place, in every yama, in every lila stali and braj. This is that line number three, Shiradike Tavavraha Paricharika Aham. And then the next line, Dwarastita Rasarade Patita Kadasyam. We haven't gotten to that part, but Dwarastita, you've heard of Dwarka. Dwara means stita. I'm fixed at your dwara. I'm fixed. I'm your chokidari. I'm your chokidari. Means female guard. Chokidar. Rasa Radhe. I'm standing at the door. I'm standing at the door of your kunja. And your kunja antare. Kunja antare. Inside that kunja, you are there on the flower bed with Sham. And this that... What's inside this kunja? I'm standing at the door of a lake of ras, Radhe. H-R-A-D-E means lake, lagoon. And we say Kaliarad in Sanskrit in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. It says Kaliarad. He was that Rad, H-R-A-D-E. So this is Rasarad. Dwarastita Rasaradhe Patita Kadasyam. So we'll continue there tomorrow. We'll read the verse again, and then Kunjantare kemapi jatara sotsavaya shutva tad alipa alipita sanjita sinjita mishritani shiradike tavaraha paricharikaham dwarastita rasa rade patita kadasyam. Shiradike, When will I, your confidential maidservant, fall in a pool of ras, rasa radhe, patitam? Well, that's very nice. When will I fall in a pool of ras? Like we talked about drowning. Drown in the swimming pool. Some people drown in the swimming pool. When will I fall in a pool? So patita means drown. And dwarastita rasa rade patita kadasyam kada karishya siyamam kripa kadaksha bhajanam. O Radharani, when will you glance at me with a sidelong glance? So dwara, when will I be situated at the door and inside that door that conjures a whole lake of ras? And so that's when will I hear your I'm your confidential maidservant. I'm not just a dasi, I'm a rahadasi. I'm not just a mandri, I'm a raha mandri. I'm not just a paricharika, I'm a raha. Raha means secret and also means residence. So I'm secretly residing with you. Say, re raha hun. Say, Vrindavan me re raha hun. Where do you live? Vrindavan me re raha hun. Re raha hun. Means I live in Vrindavan. So raha, as we heard the other day, raha means Bhajan Rahasyam, a Rahasya Leela, means secret and means to live with. So you put them together, the two definitions, the mandris, the paricharika kinkaris, they're always living secretly with Radharani. Because the mandris, why are they always Raha, living, Rahe, Raha, secretly? Because the mandris are living in the confidential core of Radharani's heart. There's nothing more secret than the inner chambers of your heart. No one knows what you really love or what you're really thinking. But you know, and God knows, because he's in your heart, and you're in your heart. So the manjris are in the heart of Radharani. So they Raha, their living place, their residence is Radharani's heart. And they know all the secrets of Radharani's heart. And Raha means secret. So they live in Radharani's heart, and they know all her secrets. So they're thinking, when will I fall in this pool of ras? Rasa Radhe Patita. So the word Patita means fallen, yeah. Vishamem Bhava Patitam. Lord Chaitanya says in the Shikshasanga, Patitam Mam Vishamem Bhava Mbudo. He says, Ayi Nandatana, Patitam Mam Vishamem Bhava Mbudo. He says, Patitam, I've fallen in an ocean of poison, Visha Ambudi. But here, that's one type of fallen, to be fallen in an ocean of poison of the material world. Janma Mritu Jaravyadi. But this mandri is praying, I want to fall into a lake of ras. Prem ras. Madhura ras. Madhuram, 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 madhura. Dwarastita rasa, rasa rade, patita kadas. When will I fall? When will I drown? When will I dive and plunge into the ocean of ras? As I stand at the gate of the kunja. Nikunja Dwara, hearing the sweet jingling sound of your ornaments, Shutva tad alapita sinjita mishritani, mixed with the sweet sound of your conversation. Oh, the ornaments is sinjita and the conversation is alapita. Alapita sinjita mishritani. The mixture of two. What two? Sinjita. Sinjita means tinkling ankle bells, tinkling waist bells, kinkini nupura, and alap, like you've heard of prajalp. Sometimes you're chanting japa, and sometimes you're chanting prajalpa. And in this Brahmar Gita, it describes 10 types of chitra japa. Chitra japa means variegated speech, amazing speech, chitra, colorful, amazing. So the one is called alap and pralap and different types, sanjita, different names, samlap. So this is alapita, alapita. So when will I hear this alapita? Your conversation, the music of your words, the music of your heart coming in your words, and the music of your heart coming in the jingling and tinkling of your Nupura Kinkini, that Mishritani, that mixture. Shutva, when will I hear? And then your conversation with Krishna, the Surata Kadhamrita, at the beginning of your Rasa festival. So that's your translation, and we'll continue tomorrow to discuss. Prabhupada Saraswati Pada Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Rasa Sudhanidhi Ki Jai, Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam.